precedence over everything.
Then it closes the store.
Okay, you're recording now.
Okay, I thought you were leaving.
She's like, I'm out. I'm done with this.
Call to order the regular meeting of the civil service on April 9th, 2025. Everybody is present, meeting Rachel and Lee and Emily, and the mayor left just as I arrived, plus the city attorney. Is there a motion to allot or any questions on the minutes from our January 8th meeting?
No. I do not know. Not for me.
Is there a motion?
Move that we approve the January 8th minutes.
I second that motion.
Thank you. All those that agree, please say aye.
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 I hear no nays. We have no guests that I see, other than Megan was here for a few minutes.
Megan did a little bit of IT work for us, which is appreciated.
Takes us to the discussion item, that's review of proposed changes for civil service rules, chapter 13. I also have mostly questions at my reading.
No problem.
Mostly because I'm not an attorney and don't understand the language.
That's why we write it that way. So you have to consult with a lawyer.
And for my part, John, I went through our last changes from February 4th to 25, and everything looked perfect, with the exception of just one ordering, and then, of course, Lee's. So everything looked amazing to me, like even the minor stuff. Like the underlining and the molding, and it looked really, really good.
Great.
Well, I have.
Why don't we
but John doesn't think so. I'm teasing John.
No, why don't we answer your questions, and then we can talk about chapter 13.
That's okay.
Sounds good.
On page 8, this is...
Give me the section number.
This is section 5, requirements 5.1, it's page 8, and... A, there's just a little underline there.
Yes, there is.
Oh,
I mean, I can't.
Eagle eye.
There is. What?
Do you see that?
It was just a typo.
Yeah,
it's gone now. I just got it.
It's not a big deal.
No, I'm glad you caught it, man. That's good.
That's the fine tooth comb I wish I would have done. I just looked for the differences.
Man, I lose interest.
Here it is. Do you see that little thing, that tiny little thing?
What?
That's pretty good. I'm impressed.
Oh, don't be.
Are we on a different page?
5.1.
Yeah,
5-1A. It's 5-1A. That's why I asked for the section number.
Yeah, so we're 5-1.
So it was in the pages.
No, that's fine. It's good.
It's not page 8.
It's not page 8 on my version either.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm sorry.
It is.
I have it on page 10. So.
All right.
The next question is, we do a lot by U.S. mail with short time periods.
So, what? Are you looking at a particular section?
No, I am, but it's
okay.
Just a comment. The mail is predicted to take a lot more time.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And that's probably going to be something that everybody has to look at, including courts. I mean, there's rules in courts, too, that, you know, you get this 3-day for mail kind of thing, and it's not going to be, most things are done by email anymore or electronically.
And a calendar day is every day at 365 days. Okay. On section 6, 6.4, page 22. This isn't wrong. I just don't understand.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Okay. The last line says, unless permitted at the sole discretion of the city. Who is the city?
All right, I'll get there, sorry. Okay, 6.4.
Very
last word.
That's
a deep question, John.
What?
That's a deep question. Who is the city? I'm just teasing.
No, it is.
You're right. It's not clear. I was just joking.
It's whoever's proctoring the exam.
Should it say that, or is that?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay.
I think it's good.
Okay. On 6-10, repeating examinations, it says competed in a civil service examination. Should the examination be capitalized like civil service? I don't think
so. No, I don't think
so. Okay. If they don't look right, I move on. That's my other one on deputy chief. That's it. Sorry. Thank you for your patience.
All right. So you want to go to section 13?
Yeah. The only thing that I had before that was if you look at, what is this? Right before chapter 6. So 5-9.
Okay.
So it's literally right before chapter 6, because you added that sentence, see chapter 20 concerning timelines for appeals. Do you see that sentence that you added just to direct people?
Yeah.
If you look right above that, certification of the record to the court should be subsection E, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Mine has it as a second D.
Right. Mine has it as a D as well. You're absolutely right. That should be E.
Do you see?
Thank
right
you.
Here, I have that as a second D.
Oh, okay.
An E.
Oh, should be a 3?
Should be an E, I think.
Should be an E.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulled out.
Yeah, that's
I will have my secretary mess with
don't make it all crash, Mark.
Format.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, certification so that should be at E, and then to be consistent, certification of the record, of course, should be underlined. And then the rest of it should start below that.
I noticed.
That's where I'm not messing with anything after the underline.
Yeah, highlight it in yellow so that it's real obvious.
That is a great idea.
Okay, that was it.
Nope, thank you.
Well done.
All right, now on to chapter 13, and there are actually two additional issues that Emily has to discuss with us after speaking with the chief under. Chapter
I like
13.
Chiff.
to the what?
The chiff.
Yes. So I took an opportunity to have a conversation with the chief just to let him know, hey, we're coming to the conclusion of this rules revision journey, and wanted to give him an opportunity to do kind of a final weigh-in based on where we are now. There's two items that I don't think would be too controversial, but I do think that they're material. So... the first is when we think about eligibility to participate in the promotion process, the chief felt like it would be in the best interest of the department to consider also...
It's 13-1. I'm trying to catch
13-4A.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Military service in addition to... post-high school education. So as it reads right now, or with our changes, to be eligible to participate in the promotion process, somebody must have had at least 2 years of...
Like that, 2 years.
Yes, 2 years of post-high school education. The chief feels like for those rank and roles, it would also be helpful to consider 2 years of military service as a qualification to be able to participate and compete for a promotion. So, does anybody have any concerns about that?
Only for a promotion or for entry level?
The entry level, neither is required.
Right.
Entry level is just a high school degree.
Okay,
but
right.
To be promoted to sergeant or lieutenant, right now you have to have 2 years post high school. And again, the chief. And I've had this come up in other cities too.
I'm going to hop back to our old version. I remember talking about this and rejecting this, and I just want to find the notes on what we were talking about at the time.
So I do remember that conversation. At the time, we were considering language that said, or equivalent experience.
Oh,
and the conversation at the time, we said, well, we would rather be, that's too loosey-goosey for us. We want to be a little bit more firmer in our, in the rules. Because we said, well, how do you determine equivalent experience? It could open us up to just,
right.
You know, it opens us up. I think if you say, you know, 2 years of post-high school education, that's quantifiable. 2 years of military service, that's also quantifiable. And so that puts us on firmer ground when it comes to, you know, just folks being able to compete for a promotion.
I'll throw this out. I don't think it's right, but should a certain level of promotion in the service be required? Corporal, sergeant,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
or
I mean, you know, those are questions for the chief. I mean, again, I have seen more jurisdictions looking at military service in one way or another, either in addition to or in lieu of some kind of education requirement, mm-hmm. because there's a certain segment of people who just don't go to college. And we can say, you don't get to be a sergeant or a lieutenant here, or we can say, we have this other way to measure you, at least to get your foot in the door so you can take the exam.
But right. You also have to remember that we also stated that the positions of sergeant and lieutenant are only available to Bexley police officers.
Correct.
That's right.
So,
what's your thought?
So if you have someone else that you wanted to come in, that's not, it's not going to apply to anyone else who's coming in.
Just
so
promotion.
It's basically whoever is in the department
just
now.
Just promotion.
It's mm-hmm. Expanding their promotional opportunities.
Are we talking about reserves or?
I was
going to
say 2 years. What commitment is only 2 years?
What commitment is 2 years of education?
Well,
I mean,
that's
if you're saying
degree.
Right. But
right.
If you're saying
so like
that
2 years of like military, my son wished to get out in 2 years. It's an 8 year to mm-hmm. get out in two is like you got hurt. Or you got discharged.
Right. But I guess I'm saying is if we're saying 2 years of education, that's 2 years of a commitment there. And if we're saying 2 years of military experience, that's 2 years.
2 years
there.
In the reserves.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how much
well,
that
see,
is.
See, I was going to say military service is kind of vague. Is it deployed? Is it active? Is it like, I don't know.
I think you should say at 2 years active military service.
Active military I could get behind because that's serious.
Because then it wouldn't be reserved. Now, active doesn't mean deployed.
Right, but you're on a base. You're
right.
Doing
I think that's right. I think you should say 2 years of active military
service.
And
do you want to say anything about honorable discharge?
They're not going to get hired.
I was going to say, we have dishonorable.
They're not going to get hired if they weren't honorably discharged.
I mean, I don't really support the amendment. I mean, I would say the skill set I look for in a sergeant or a lieutenant is written and verbal communication, which I find are generally associated with higher education.
So do I, Rachel.
Because like
we have the same
reports.
Background, but I think that's somewhat unfairly biased. Because I have the same, I've had the same thoughts as well. To me, that education is much more valuable than military service. But I also think we're talking about a segment of folks who could make very good leaders in the police department who don't have the same path that most of us in this room have taken.
And I totally agree with you on that. I totally agree with you. All
I mean,
I'm
terribly biased about
is if
this.
You can't write a report without errors, written really well, communicated, it's going to get torn apart.
So,
and
then I think, but that's where your sergeant or your lieutenant
catches it.
But that's also not where, it's also, you're not going to get very far in the promotion process.
That's right. This is just qualifying you to say you are eligible to participate in the process, but that doesn't mean that you're passing tests, that doesn't mean that you're selected. This is just your barrier to entry. And we're saying that the barrier to entry can be inclusive of active military service when we think about qualifications there.
I share your bias, but I also like to give this particular chief whatever he asks for.
A little deference.
The thing on that, though, is we have to make rules that work for any chief at any time.
Well, again, I mean, you know, it's anecdotal, but I, many years ago, taught one semester of employment law at Wittenberg, and the atrocious writing that I saw from people in college, it was unbelievably bad. So,
and I'm not saying that that's true. I'm just saying if there's, I'm not saying there's a causal relationship, but there's an association.
Sure there is.
Right.
Absolutely, 100%. Anyway, I just
you
think,
haven't said anything.
Well, first of all, I do want to go back to other sections of Chapter 13.
We will.
We will do
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we do.
You know, I think that this is essentially saying to members of the department now who may not have had those 2 years of college or post high school that you're still going to have a chance.
Promotional path.
I mean, we've already
That's
gone
part of the morale.
We've gone through the first round of promotions for lieutenant and sergeants in the last year or so. I don't know that anyone was excluded. I can think of a couple of officers by names that have been in the military that don't have that. And if what I'm sensing that Emily has heard is that the chief would want to open that horizon up for those particular individuals to be considered.
I hadn't thought about the morale of the troops.
I have high expectations.
What?
I just have high expectations, and I expect people to rise to them. That's just my default. But I can do active.
Well, look, you know, we you do it, and it ends up in a very surprising but poor process. Again, we don't want that even once, but you can always change back.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah. With this, I don't feel like this is a very nimble process. Like,
well, it will be much more nimble if it's only a change here or there.
Right, right.
Anyway, okay, so it sounds like folks are, there's a consensus that active military would be okay.
Is he voting?
No, I'm asking a question to make sure, to see if we can move on to the next section.
I know. I'm struggling with it.
Okay.
That's why I said that.
I don't have a problem with that. I think giving officers who are dedicated and interested in being promoted, it broadens their horizons. And I think this is just the threshold that they have to cross. Whether they get a position or not is going to depend upon their performance and their the results of the examination.
That's a good point.
I have experienced how important the ability to hire people is if they feel they have the right of promotion. So I don't disagree with you, but
I think that our current chief is also very heavily committed to that from promoting within.
Yeah, but Rachel's right.
Right.
We have to think about this for posterity, not for exactly.
But
well, we are getting amazing candidates these days as entry-level police officers, so you know that's also bodes well for people who can communicate. I mean, my interactions, which of course are brief, with some of the newer officers, they're amazing.
Do we need a motion to
well,
do this?
Well, should we wait until
Why don't we wait to see all
okay,
the
that's
candidates?
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Another change that the chief pointed out was we had replaced captain with deputy chief, but then he had made the point that captain is still a position that's within like the inventory of jobs. It's a job description
is
that exists
in
within
the, do we have
the
an
city.
Organizational chart of the police department?
So we do have an organizational chart of the police department. But when I think about, position descriptions that exist and an org chart, I think about org chart being people in seats. And then I think about the job descriptions being positions that could be filled and put into place at some point. The captain is a a job description that exists within our library of job descriptions and could be put into place at some time.
Because
but it's not currently
so,
in place.
But for as long as I've been on the Civil Service Commission, the captain and deputy chief have been the same. It's
mm-hmm.
been an interchangeable position. And so I agree that if the intent is that we are going to have a captain and a deputy chief, I'd like to know how that's going to fit in. So that you're going to have the chief, you're going to have a deputy chief. Under the deputy chief would be the captain, and then the lieutenants under that.
That would be the rank structure,
right.
Certainly.
Right.
And obviously it would have to be funded by council and approved
right.
by the mayor.
Right.
I've been around long enough that we had a captain and no deputy chief.
Yeah.
Right.
So then,
right.
Yeah,
right.
So then what this
well,
change is just
right.
allowing us to do is say, you know, at some point we would like to fill a position of captain, then
right.
we know what the...
The
requirements are
right.
for that.
I agree, and that's fine. And what it seems is that if it unfolds that a lieutenant would be competing for the captain position first, if that is what's going to be vacant, and then maybe the deputy chief position doesn't get filled. And so...
Right, I think that's a possible scenario.
Right. So, that's, you know...
I think, as you're saying, they're almost mutually exclusive in essence, because the department's just not big enough to support that level of administration.
I mean, I think that would be counterproductive to...
But
to
in any case, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last...
One more from
yes,
the
and
chief.
The last piece of feedback from the chief was... we wanted to explicitly state that when an individual is in probationary status, that they're not eligible to compete for a promotion. Which I was surprised that that was not in there already. But we looked and it wasn't explicitly stated.
And the reason that's an issue primarily is because of the proliferation of lateral transfers. So there's a minimum service requirement as a patrol officer to be a sergeant.
Okay.
But Bexley hires somebody from a different department and they come in with 3 years of service, they're gonna be almost immediately eligible. I think it's 3 years. So we don't want somebody in their probationary period to be eligible to be promoted from sergeant all the way up to, from patrol officer to sergeant when they haven't been here for even a year.
It's so weird we don't have that in here.
It is weird, but we don't have it because it historically is not an issue. Because
we didn't
have
two laterals.
Right? Nobody did laterals.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's doing them.
I think that makes sense.
And
do we have a
definition of what a probationary period is?
That is a chapter that's...
It's also in the collective bargaining agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So this would also include,
Well, it looks as, I mean, maybe it's different, but our chapter 11 seems as if, but I'm sure that the
it's 12 months. Either, it may say both places, but it's 12 months.
It says,
officers.
I think it says 120
days
up to 1 year.
Yep.
And then in the collective bargaining agreement, it states probationary period is 1 year. So...
I think that makes sense.
All right, so those were the changes, right?
Those were
the chief.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Lee, I'm sorry.
Let
it's
me ask
my
a
meeting.
Question. Has this come up? Has that been a problem?
Yes.
Because it wasn't stated, we had to allow it?
We had a sergeant that was promoted that was then demoted during his probationary period.
Who was in his probationary period at the time, but was eligible because of the lateral?
That's my understanding.
Yes.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So that's already
it
come
just
up.
Happened
yeah.
like in the last year.
Yeah, got
the last few months.
Yeah, last few months, you're right. All right, sorry. I was taking too much control. I'm just the one.
No,
you're doing
that
great.
That was great. Shall we let Lee lead this part?
Sure. So what I was concerned about in reading the original draft is that the Civil Service Commission was not within, did not have responsibilities that were defined in terms of the process. And so what I suggested was amending the wording here so that the representatives of the commission shall be entitled to be present in all aspects of the promotional and appointment process. So that would involve the sergeants, lieutenants, captain, and deputy chief position, since a chief position is discretionary upon the mayor.
But the deputy chief is not.
The deputy chief is the responsibility of the chief, as I understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I don't know, we haven't expressed that, and maybe we need to, but.
Doesn't that second sentence up there, on the last sentence on page 31 up there say that? Or if it's not enough, we can certainly wordsmith it.
Right, well, that's, I think that's.
So you could bring a captain
all
or
aspects
deputy
of
chief
the
in
appointment
from the outside.
Of the promotional right. And appointment
yes.
process. I think that's how I
suggested it. I'm sorry, say that again.
Representatives of the commission shall be entitled to be present during all aspects of the promotional and appointment process. Because if someone is coming in from outside the department, that would be considered an appointment, not a promotion.
He was trying to capture the laterals, is that right?
Exactly.
So, and that, again, that's fine. Obviously, I shouldn't say obviously. I mean, there obviously are going to, I said it again, are going to be certain, like the mayor might have a one-on-one interview with candidates. You're not talking about things like that, are you? Like if the mayor has a one-on-one interview with the candidates or the final four candidates like we did last time for chief, you're not saying that
you can't do that.
The
chief's position is different.
You said that, sorry.
Right? I mean, I see that totally as a department head that's discretionary upon the mayor. The representatives of the commission shall be entitled to be present so that if someone on the commission wants to be present during all aspects of the process, a representative of the commission should be allowed to do that.
So let me ask you this. What's the distinction in your mind to use the words promotional and appointment process?
Because a promotion is a promotion from within. Appointment means an appointment to the position, which may be a lateral from some, or an appointment from another department, if someone within the department is not eligible.
Okay. I certainly don't have a concern.
I still am concerned about the captain deputy chief. I don't think it says anywhere that they cannot come in from the outside. And traditionally, I think pretty much the chief has recommended or...
I'm going to chip something here real quick on that question, Lee. I mean, John, sorry. Let's see here.
I'm saying I don't understand it from what I've read.
I had marked the rationale for the change in paragraph 2 here was to include commission involvement in the hiring of the chief and deputy chief, not just promotional hiring of sergeants and lieutenants. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, okay. That's exactly it. And then we'll follow up with a comment on that as we get through that page.
You're talking about...
I'm talking, but well, I...
On your page I'm, here,
he's talking
read.
About
talking
paragraph
about
two.
Paragraph.
This first one, the rationale.
Okay.
The rationale being...
Right.
Commission involved in the hiring of the chief and deputy chief, not just the promotional hiring of sergeants and lieutenants. That
right.
was what on 212
well,
we talked about.
It would be all aspects. If I remember correctly, we had discussed this. The last promotion sergeants, we were not involved at all. Mm-hmm. By tradition, we have always been involved in the hiring process as well as the promotion process.
Right.
This last time, we were not.
Right.
So this gives us,
yes.
Right.
So I believe I believe, John, that only the chief can be hired from outside. Based on my reading of the section I just had up, and now of course I got rid of it, that because as the mayor appoints the chief, everything else is subject to civil service law. Now, not to complicate things, but there's a limited exception that so for sergeants, lieutenants, captains, and deputy chiefs, they'd have to be hired through promotion. There is a limited exception under civil service law where the administration can come to the Civil Service Commission and say, oh, we've got this situation, special situation. Would you, Civil Service Commission, allow us to hire straight from outside? I've seen that happen in departments a little smaller than this where there's been corruption or there's been a lot of discipline and there really isn't any safe candidate to, but that's an exception. So, and you would have to approve that. The mayor couldn't do that on his own.
Just thinking, I could see a chief selecting somebody as captain or deputy chief so they could overlap and he or she that's chief could familiarize that person with the way things have been done here, what could be done that we're not doing.
I think you're right, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I think that, Chief Lewis has said more than once to me and probably to some of you that he wants to lead this place so we have viable internal candidates to be the next chief, and I think that's part of it.
I think that's true, but there are scenarios that I can envision where you may not have candidates that have the requirements that we agreed upon, let's say the educational requirements for captain or deputy chief. If we do not have an internal candidate and we do give the chief the authority to appoint someone from outside of the department, then that is one of the things that we have to consider.
Yes.
I think that's we're talking about promotion and appointments.
Yeah.
So that's the change.
So,
are we good with that change?
So I added
the last sentence,
right,
there.
Right. They're entitled to be present during all aspects of the promotional and appointment process. Right, and it would be reflected in the first sentence too. It should be involved with the promotion and appointment process,
yep,
within,
okay,
the department.
Okay.
No, the first, it's in the
still
first
says
sentence.
The deputy chief.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had my.
Right.
See, that's,
no,
I need a mouse.
What, does that answer your concern about the deputy chief position, John?
No, because I think we have still said that other than the chief, all the promotions have to be from within. I'm not saying I'm right.
That's not that.
But then I think the examples that Mark gave and Lee gave where, if you find yourself in a situation where there aren't qualified candidates, Mark saying that the chief could come to the Civil Service Commission and there could an exception could be granted.
And that's
baked into civil service law.
And that's why we're making a distinction between promotion and appointment.
Right.
The promotion promotion connotates an increase in grade within the department. An appointment means an assignment to a position that doesn't necessarily mean it's coming from internal.
Yes.
Well, my concern with your answer is who's going to know that?
Who's going to know what?
That they can come to civil service and
they would consult with the city attorney.
What?
that we consult with the city attorney. It's in case law. So okay. It's not, I mean, it's not something, yeah, I mean, so they would, somebody would have to know what they're doing when it comes to civil service law and say, and whether that's the city attorney or some outside attorney or whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. And that's how it works other places. And then if the administration does that, if the chief does that, then, and the commission wants to approve it, you can also approve it with conditions. So you can say, this is how we're going to have to do it or something along those lines.
Okay. I mean, if we, can we move on to some of these other sections and like 13.2? Mm-hmm. Promotion without a competitive examination. So if a vacancy occurs in a promotional position, what, do we need to make that distinction consistently throughout this chapter? Promotion and appointment.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're just trying to capture the same idea from the previous section.
Right, to make it consistent throughout.
So may promote or appoint an eligible candidate?
Right.
Would
that be something that...
See, that's where they would have to come to you anyway.
Well, if a vacancy exists in a promotional or appointed position, the appointing authority may promote or appoint an eligible application for promotion or appointment without a competitive exam. Because if you do have that type of position, an appointed position, that gives the appointing authority the discretion as well.
Does the discretion exist without us saying it, though, Mark?
No, I don't like the wording of this. Now
I don't. Now I'm like starting to get muddied.
I think if a vacancy exists in a promotional position, the appointing authority, with the approval of the Civil Service Commission, may promote or appoint an eligible applicant for the position without a competitive exam.
That makes sense. Can you write that down?
Good.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I hope.
With the approval.
Promote or
appoint.
Two fingers, baby. But sometimes it's one.
Exactly.
I'm the fastest one finger typist you'll see. I don't know why it looks funky. An eligible
it's
applicant.
It's like justified or something.
Without a promote or appoint an eligible applicant for the position without a competitive exam. Because that's kind of
right.
What I was just talking
right.
about.
Yes, that is what you're talking
right.
about.
But what you've captured that with the approval of the Civil Service Commission,
yep.
because that gives another set of eyes on this.
Right, and I think it's legally required. I mean, whether you want to or not, it's part of, and I know you want to, that's part of your job and your responsibility and authority. In other words, the mayor can't just say, I'm doing it without regard to what the Civil Service Commission says.
Well, it's not so much of the mayor, but in the police department, or wouldn't the chief be an appointing authority?
No, it's still the mayor as a service director, safety director.
Okay.
Technically. I mean,
right.
Again,
no, right.
There I fixed the weird stuff too.
Wow, you're on a roll.
They're saving.
Yeah. To the mayor, though. I mean, to the chief, though.
Well, the chief would have to ask the mayor, as the appointing authority, look, I want to do this. And
yeah.
the mayor would have to say okay, and then come to you and get you guys to say okay.
But does it change how a chief would be selected by the mayor?
No.
Okay.
It does not. Because the chief is not going through this process at all.
Our next one's the 13-4, is that right?
Yeah, it is, but I also, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to 13-3 because there's
no, one. It's the wrong direction.
It's just one quick question there. So it says the final grade of an applicant in a promotional examination shall be their total score on all parts of a competitive examination. What happens if there's a tie? Do we need to define what the criteria for breaking the tie would be?
You get to pick the top five candidate, one of the mm-hmm. five candidates. You're not promoting based on the highest score. So,
okay. So the determination of the grade is moot.
Well, it's not moot because first of all, you have to be on the top five to be considered.
Right.
So if there's more than five taking it, somebody. And second of all, I presume that, and in my experience has been in this, certainly under Reinhardt and under Lewis as well, that you normally are going to promote the person who scored the highest. So it's not moot. You just don't have to.
Okay. So what if it's tied, it comes back to the discretion of the chief.
Right. That's right.
What if we have multiple candidates and number five and number six tie?
They would both be considered one of the top five candidates if there's a tie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I felt that way.
Unless it happens on a Thursday.
Okay.
In which case,
it happened,
they have to arm wrestle.
It's okay. Next is 13-4, but we're just adding to the appointment and promotion of officers and supervisors.
Okay. Yep. And supervisors.
And it also changes. Do you remember this, Lee? You also wanted to change within to in.
Right.
So with the rationale that the language doesn't indicate that appointment of a chief or deputy chief must be from within the department, amending it to
in omits that condition. Expands it. Right.
You're not allowed to read that, what he sent you, because it violates subject law.
What's that?
You're cracking us up, Mark.
I
thought one-on-one. I thought one-to-one can talk.
Not when there's only three of you.
Oh, really?
Because then you're a majority. But I'm just giving you a hard time. Erase that from the table.
No. He's referring to an illegal conversation that Lee and I had, and potentially Lee had then with you. I don't know.
It doesn't matter. There's no illegal conversation for purposes of this record. It's all good. I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, that's actually helpful to know that in a three-person group, there's no talking.
That's right.
Or to you.
You can talk to you. You can talk to me or Emily. That's right.
Okay.
Couldn't we have breakfast together?
Not talk about business, but it happens all the time. I understand that. That's why council doesn't have
so I think committees anymore. I think we also we already discussed section A and section B. So the last paragraph there that starts with the chief of police.
Mm-hmm.
The chief of police, in conjunction with the commission, shall determine the nature and form of the competitive exam used to fill a vacancy in the ranks of sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and deputy chief of police.
In conjunction with the commission,
the chief of police in conjunction with the commission.
Yeah, I have to move that because it should be the chief of police or their designee in conjunction.
Yep.
Hang on. The commission should be capitalized.
Who would the chief of police in their what would their designee?
I mean, the chief could say to a deputy chief, you handle this. If it's for a sergeant exam or something like that.
Okay, but the rest of the sentence is going to read, vacancy in the ranks of sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and deputy chief of police.
Sergeant, lieutenant,
captain, and deputy chief of police. So that it's unlikely that the
there would be a designee.
Right.
The chief
would say, all right, it's yours. You want to report yourself?
Well,
yeah,
the
maybe
chief can be asked to help on the,
right.
to assist on the, one of the others, or you
right.
might ask a lieutenant to be involved
right.
as his designee on a sergeant's exam even.
Should it say that?
Sergeant, lieutenant, captain, and deputy chief are not capitalized.
We haven't capitalized them throughout at all.
Well,
oh yeah, we did
yeah.
other places. You're right. Yep. Good point. We actually, I was 100% wrong.
No, I think there's nothing else that I had, but it is, just to wrap this up, that the chief has the discretion of filling the captain's position or the deputy chief's position in conjunction with us.
Right.
It's not required that the deputy chief be a captain. He could go from that. They could go from lieutenant to deputy chief.
That's exactly right.
Or it could be lieutenant, captain, deputy chief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You got it.
One other issue that you raised was that the committee, and I won't be on it, get copies of the lists and some of the things.
I think that was that was the next paragraph. The exam would include a written component, oral assessment, and or interviews. The commission shall create an eligible list ranking the candidates who achieve the passing grade. So we will be responsible for creating that. The one thing that underlined all of this, if you remember during a sergeant's examination, the process was that the chief brought in chiefs from outside the department to conduct the interviews, and you were sent away. So that
didn't bother me.
Well, again, you certainly can say two things. One is you could certainly just sit there and observe. Or you can not be in the, you know, you could choose not to, but.
Right. Right, and you're entitled to be present during all aspects. That's what we included.
There was some reason that they gave for that.
I just remember that your comment was that you were not allowed to participate, and you had been there at 7:45 a.m.
I said that?
So I mentioned this to Mark, and I mentioned it to the chief, and now I'll mention it to this commission. The next time we have a vacancy in the police department, I'd like to convene a meeting with a representative from this commission, the chief, whoever else he's his designee, right, for the hiring process, and myself to go through what that hiring process looks like and set expectations for the commission's participation, and we'll do that from the onset, and so then everybody knows what to expect and everyone's singing from the same hymn book, if you will.
And that
so,
would be the same for entry-level officer as well, or just hiring or just promotion.
That's right.
I think
the next time we have any opening within the police department, right? That's a sworn position. It makes sense to have that meeting so that we're all on the same page.
You're right.
Because
you have that position as human resources, that's really a bonus for us.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I mean, that should help facilitate this.
Right.
And then for this commission's benefit as well, we have just in last week implemented a new hiring software for the city that enables both people to, candidates to apply for positions, but then we can also capture information for exams and other testing as well, and create eligible lists from that system. And so that will be helpful for this commission, because we would be able to leverage that, and then those lists would exist, and you know, we would be able to easily share them, easily certify them. They would be public records.
So everyone who takes the NTS is going to be ranked, and their scores will be available to everybody else.
I mean, if you apply for a position within the city,
right,
anybody's resume is public record, and anybody's test information is public
record. Because that's different than it has been. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's NTS scores were made public before.
Well, I don't know that we've had a an elegant way, right, to capture and collect all this information.
I think it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's.
You know, I think in the past the three scores were worked out, and we were told who was
right.
Top.
I think Deputy Chief Goff compiled the list. The threshold for the list changed from examination to examination. That won't happen now.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. I wouldn't be surprised if I had other clients in other cities who do that.
I mean,
as well. I'm not saying it's right.
Is the cutoff 75 mm-hmm. or 73? Is it, where are we going to get the top
Let
five?
Let me say
that kind of
chief
thing.
Can decide that, or us. It's in here somewhere.
Bottom line is, you need to know what it is in advance, so that way you can, A, monitor, participate in the process of appointment, and be able, in the worst case scenario, address any challenges, unlikely, but could come before you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what do we need to do?
Oh, nothing.
I think.
So, Emily, I just have a clarifying question. So I think I've been on this commission for maybe 4-ish years, and I'm looking back on the old Reinhart or Goff emails we would get, and they'd give us a few days notice, and we'd be present for the interview. We might have an opportunity to ask a question, but that's really about the extent of it.
Right.
Is this, we would understand the eligible list has always been a little opaque to me. So are you saying that with this new process, that's something that we'd actually have we'd be entering into them, like looking for something different, like looking for like a threshold, or like understanding mm-hmm. ranking, or like what would this like baseline meeting, or what change are we anticipating, mm-hmm. if that makes sense?
I think you guys would have visibility into that criteria of the eligible list. And then we would be able to plot out the steps of the process, right? So we're saying, okay, now next we're doing a physical exam. Next we're doing oral boards. And so you would know the steps in which the process would proceed. And then that will enable you not to have a 3-day heads up. You would have a little bit, further sight
to
it.
We don't get called the day before the physical exam.
Right. Just so that you would have a better understanding of when is this taking place, what is the time frame, what is the order. And then, that lets everybody be on the same page so that we can partner together.
So really, it's understanding the process more and potentially having a more meaningful or like transparent role, maybe. Or
mm-hmm.
yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's great. I think the only variable in that, in terms of the mm-hmm. ranking, is going to be the background investigations, because you can have a top rank on a score and then find some deficiency in the background of examinations, and you wouldn't be called to an oral board.
Right. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that line, let's say they failed the psychological test. We wouldn't get to see the test, but we would at some point be told that they were not.
Well, that's a good point, because traditionally the way that it's worked is a conditional offer of employment was made before the polygraph and the psychological exam.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're
because it's very expensive too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're intending that part of the process still be replicated, right? So we'll do the exam, the backgrounds, leads to the oral board, leads to the composite score, leads to the psychological and the, so that part of the process will be the same.
As far as I understand, And with our software that we have now, when somebody drops out of the process for whatever reason, so if they fail the background check, then we can update their status in the eligible list, and we would know at what point of the process they failed out too. And so then the list whittles down as we go through the process.
So without getting too far into the weeds, and someone reads out at the background check level, that's not something we're going to learn about. That's something that you will know and the chief will know.
But then it's...
Is that acceptable? I mean, in terms of any...
I think that's right.
As long as it's a defensible reason.
Well, that's right. If they feel like it's not defensible, they can come to the commission and ask you to review it.
I like it, though. It'll say the fifth lap of the... What they have to run.
They weed it out at mile 1 1/4.
Man, I think the nice thing about what you're talking about, Emily, and I don't know what we use now, is that that also will allow for some data tracking, potentially, right?
So right now we use ad hoc Excel spreadsheets is what the department uses.
We waited so long, requested so many times that you be here, and it's wonderful that you are.
Well, it's wonderful to be here.
And if I remember correctly, it was done on a blackboard, right?
I don't even remember paper ever seeing. Right. I mean, it must have existed, but for me, it was like a whiteboard.
Right. It was the oral board scores were totaled, and then the combination of the testing scores and then.
Who's making political donations to the right people? That's who we'll hire. That's a joke, for the record.
That's an examination that you can put on there, maybe.
So,
are we happy?
That's your ticket to the examination.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
If Lee's happy,
I'm happy.
I'm happy.
I think we've covered all of those points.
Honestly, Lee, there's really
no
one.
They'll get blamed.
So I think there needs to, if you're comfortable, a motion to approve the 4/9/25 version of the
of the rules. Since we did it in real time, we can see them, so we don't need a lagging.
That's okay with you.
But this document will be the one that we've agreed upon and will then go to City Council?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I would like to get a full copy.
Absolutely. But the question is, are you comfortable approving it tonight, subject to your review?
Do you want to look at your section again, Lee, or are you good? Because you saw Mark making the changes.
I did.
Somewhere in here, I thought it said that it went to a public meeting before council.
Well, I think that's
in front of council.
Could be this.
I think it's the same council, one and the same. That would be the public meeting.
Okay. Does
it have to be posted on the website? Public comment.
We'll make sure all those T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
I'm sure you'll get a lot of.
When this is explained to council, I would love for them. I don't even know if people remember what we started with. It was so big. Do you remember how unwieldy it was?
It was pre-COVID.
It predated your involvement.
It was during COVID.
It just allows me to collapse it.
Okay. I'm picky.
No, that won't show up on the. That just shows up there.
Great.
It drives me crazy sometimes when I forget it's there and I'm like, where'd that go?
Didn't we meet in a little room at Capitol? I feel like we did. The Charter Review met at Capitol, and I thought that we also met in this, I don't know, it was COVID times. So
I don't remember.
It was a fever dream.
But it's been a long, strange trip.
Yeah.
There was a little small room. It was people snacked in there. Maybe it was here. I don't know.
We did.
Because there was a school board. There was a school board meeting.
Right.
So we were in like the break room. The break room.
Yes, we did.
Okay,
and no one wanted the Cheez-Its.
That's what it was.
Timmy just screamed murder when we had the charter review over.
He's good at that. He's still doing it.
Okay, so steps. We need to move to approve this here.
If you're so inclined.
If we are so inclined. I move that we adopt the 4925 version of the City of Bexley Civil Service Commission Civil Service Rules.
I second that motion.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion is passed.
Good job.
Wow.
That is
all of them.
I should have baked a cake, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to.
Cupcakes.
Jesus.
You could freeze them.
A civil service cake.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Good job, folks.
Are we now to appointments? Item 5 on our agenda.
We are.
I am escaping.
Okay. New hire Starkey Alexander, and I looked at these, but my sheets are out of order.
Yes, and
here.
So I will say before we go into this section, a couple of things. So
I'll send this to all you. Sorry.
Perfect. Yeah. So the new software that we have for our recruiting and hiring process will also enable us to have, will automatically generate personal action forms too.
Great.
So,
congratulations, Greg.
Thank you. I appreciate it. See you guys.
See ya.
I'm Mark. Thanks.
So, it may be at the next quarterly meeting that you'll see that format. And because the director is able to electronically approve those things and it goes through a queue for that. So for appointments and promotions that are, you know, obviously outside the PD, those PAFs will look different going forward. So that is a heads up to this commission on that.
Look different, but be uniform?
Yes.
Are you the director?
Well, so for example, if somebody is hired in the recreation department, then Mike Price is the director of that department, and he will sign off on any PAF.
Whatever.
Okay. But did you hear, I know that you won't enjoy it, John, but all of the forms will be consistent, which is something that we've been asking for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Right, and dated correctly, because you'll have triggers for when the step raise.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
I was like, I just want to highlight that.
And so that is for any appointments. And then I think the next above our software is I'm working to implement an onboarding, offboarding software as well that ties into that hiring module. I believe that we'll be able to automatically generate PAFs for separations too, based on what I know so far. But I don't want to...
Is this like a public sector specific software?
It is, yeah.
Nice.
It's
good.
It's, the brand is NeoGov is the software. And then also for step increases, we've been implementing a new timekeeping system that includes pay rate maintenance too. And so that is essentially 99% complete. But what that allows us to do is automatically process scheduled step increases. So based on, you know, what is from the pay ordinance, right, that council's approved, what is in on the contracts. And so we won't see PAFs for those anymore because those are guaranteed by the contracts and they're done automatically by the software and don't need approval of the appointing authority. And
wow.
So that's why you'll see the new version of the changes. It looks like an Excel spreadsheet because that's just a report from that system that said in the last quarter, what are the pay changes that occurred for classified?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
what is the system? Do you know?
It's called Right Stuff. And so it's a very... this implementation took a very long time, but it is a software that's used a lot by police departments, because if you know anything about police pay, it's very complicated, and there's a lot of ways that folks within a police department can get paid or earn a salary, or there's multipliers. And so we've been able to configure that and be very specific and build a lot of rules, build like custom algorithms into how things are paid. So it's really automating a lot.
Do you have an IT staff on that, or are you doing that? Their support system?
Yeah, so we have a project manager that we partnered with, but myself, in partnership with the finance director, Carrie Martin, kind of tag-teamed the implementation on
and
that.
And do you work with Yvette, too, for the police department? Or?
Yeah, so all of the different department leads were really instrumental in implementing that, too, because certainly they're the subject matter experts in the pay for their particular department. So they collaborated, and we had a lot of team meetings and updates, and
that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, like that all takes into account. Is there compensatory time? Is that still a thing?
So that everything. It tracks. It also tracks leave bank balances, benefits like wellness time. We just worked this week for our police officers that get a residency stipend. We've worked with a software developer to bake that in. So anything that you get paid for can now be tracked in that system. And it's a simple download and then upload into our accounting system so that those folks get paid the right amount.
Is it hard to audit?
It's easy to audit because for essentially every single field within that system, there's an audit trail. And you can track changes with everything. So that is context.
But it's also password protected, I would imagine, so that you, in order to make any of those changes,
sure,
you have to log in.
I think that's smart. So we won't see any of that. That's going to just flow
naturally.
It can make our meetings even a lot
better. And it doesn't matter. We have no authority over that. So
it was just
logical.
A formality that we were going through.
And I mean, I work at the state level. My paychecks tell me my next step increase. It just happens, right? Yeah. It's just happening because I'm on a schedule for it.
Lee, I've been sitting here noticing that there are two bald guys, two beautiful women with very long hair. Is that a requirement for this commission?
Oh, man.
We do have very long hair, Rachel.
So what's going to happen when you retire, right?
Well, that's...
So
that's
I don't think we're done with our appointment.
No. Alexander Starkey, I do not understand. Sick leave credited equipment operator one, but he's step four, and it says from, and there's no two, and down here it says six to transfer, almost looks like a phone number, but those are number of hours,
so,
and it says it's permanent.
Does
your thing explain this?
Well, I am happy to explain for Alexander's situation. He came to us from a different municipality, and our city code allows for the transfer of sick leave from another public entity to Bexley. And so he opted to do that, and then in those cases, I work with that HR department to certify that with proof. So Mr. Starkey is coming in as an equipment operator one. He is coming in as a step four because he's coming in with experience.
Yes.
So that is...
That's a good amount of sick time.
Yeah.
Is that 324 hours?
Yeah, right? He came from the city of Lancaster.
Ah.
So.
Good for him.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And... changes, listing of schedule step increases for the court.
So
that was the spreadsheet.
I looked at that. Everybody okay with that? I guess I didn't ask. Is there a motion to approve, Mr. Starkey?
So move.
I second that motion.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It has been approved. Do we need to do anything with the step changes chart. I don't think so.
I think in my mind that's just for your information to
because it's all,
as a as a reassurance that the process is working, and then should something come up in the future, then we would have that to refer back to.
The last one is an Emily resignation, and my only question, this doesn't relate to the I can't think of the term we went into when we discussed somebody.
Oh, executive session.
Thank you. 25 years on council, you'd think I'd know that, but I can't remember anything anymore. Is there any relation here?
Is Emily related to me or
no?
Do we? Oh, was there an executive session of council?
No, we had an executive session
concerning.
Oh, that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
I do. I think I know what you're talking about, and that it doesn't. It's not related to that.
Okay.
So, it's not related to any executive session.
Thank you.
I can state that.
I thought that was the best way to deal with that. Anything else that?
Did we need to move to approve for separation, or did we not need to do that?
You had, and somewhere the next meeting is the regularly.
July.
Would have been the regularly scheduled meeting.
It's July.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't see it in front of me, but it was in something that...
I think it was in one of the minutes that maybe it was the...
And then any steps in terms of presentation of these documents to City Council, you'll let us know.
I will.
But to confirm, we don't have to do anything on Emily Samsel?
No.
No, I don't...
Okay. Yeah. I know that's our normal rhythm. Yeah, I don't think we did we?
Okay. I'll take a motion on.
I move to approve the resignation of Emily Samsel.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
She has been approved.
Thank goodness she's been living her life expecting it, and now we finally approved it, huh?
Right. I mean, if it really, if you would have not approved.
What are you going to do?
Know, right.
That is the question that I've always been wondering of the when and how would we exercise power, and I don't think it's in this situation. I think it's really in other situations in these rules.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think Mark would agree. And so if somebody separates, I think that the benefit of bringing these for your review is so that you know about the hires, the step increases and the separations, so that if somebody were to come forth with an issue for civil services consideration, you would say, well, okay, yes, we know that so-and-so separated.
I think.
But I don't know that it technically needs to be approved.
I've wondered about this process for a while, but I just...
What if we did not, what if we had a negative vote?
Right.
What would happen then? I'm imagining that we would have to say something to justify.
Well, I think, John, the candidate would almost need to come to us. That's what I keep seeing in examples. The candidate would come to us on an appellate level.
Oh, sure.
And that's where we could act. I'm not sure if we can act sua sponte just based on we don't like what we see here. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I just like to ask questions.
Well, I know. I'm curious, too.
I think what would be really useful for me is if we do have an organizational chart, if you have something that shows how each of the departments are organized, like service, how many equipment operators are there, mm-hmm. how many water service technicians. Do you have that?
So I have, so great news. I have a organization chart that's not as specific for that, so more conceptual. However, we are...
Spiritually outside.
When we implement our new onboarding, part of that is implementing a position structure. So if you think about positions as seats, then we'll be able to quantify in a very easy way how many equipment operators do we have, how many of each... position. Right now, those documents exist, but they're not in one view.
Right, because it's a composite. When the city votes on a budget, like the service department budget,
yeah,
the service director comes up with salaries, mm-hmm. and this would break it down by position, and then the position would fit into the organizational
make
chart.
It easier to
right.
budget.
Right, so we've got, each of the departments has that in their own structure, but there's
yeah.
nothing that's within one view
yeah.
For the entire city yet, but it's coming. So.
Well, I would welcome an opportunity to receive one as it evolves.
Okay. Great.
Because I think that's always been, you know, one of the questions that we've had. It's like okay, we're increasing steps or we're giving promotions, but where does this affect the overall
mm-hmm.
department?
Yeah.
Okay. When is our next meeting? Just while we're all together, just to make sure that we're all on the same page on that.
I believe
that it's in July.
No, I don't have a Wednesday in my book in July. Hmm.
It would be, it's Wednesday, July 9th.
I don't know why I'm putting it in my book.
So, John, on a housekeeping note, I know that you put in your resignation, which I don't know if we accepted it, but when is your last meeting with us?
I do not know. I don't know if the mayor wants me to stay on to present
the
council.
Oh yeah,
or,
I would imagine.
Or whether it's his choice.
So you're serving at the pleasure.
What?
You're serving at the pleasure.
Yeah, yes, and whenever. I don't care. I just am old enough, I think.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that if you wanted to be done, we made sure you were, you know, done.
Okay.
And that you had given Emily enough time to bake the cake. We didn't get one
that's
tonight.
That's right.
I need some heads up.
And that's helpful.
Maybe I have to bake the cake.
Because that's helpful, too, because you lead our meetings. So you'll be here probably, unless we hear otherwise, for July 9th to lead.
Yeah, I have no idea when they will present it to council.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'll be in town on July 5th, so...
Well, the
9th.
Well,
I will say, you don't have to beg it. I'm going to Resch's, so we're going to...
Oh,
now there we go.
Yes.
Yes.
John, you are definitely worthy of a Resch's.
You hear that, John? You
Thank
are
you.
Valued.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Good
right.
job, everybody.
Ready to adjourn?
Thank you.
Oh,
motion?
Yeah.
Move that we adjourn the April 9th meeting.
I second that motion.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Thank you, Rachel.
And
yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you for all the good news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It all
Thank
got
God.
In there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do not want to be around when we would have to do that again someday.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have been carting this
Actually, I would like to be around because it would be 2094 or
And so my thought on this, because these are all our past versions, I'm going to wait until council approves it, just in case I have to retroactively go backwards and review notes.
No, I think you should bring it as a visible representation of the work that's
That's right.